Movies. Hello and welcome back to the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Gus, and hey, when Ben's away, Gus will give his thoughts on movies. So we are deep in the gauntlet, as in we are just starting the gauntlet. So if you're tuning in with us, back in action are the Brothers Movie Factory, going through cinema throughout the decades, movies from the 1910s, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, all the way up till our current decade. And, you know, silly old me, when we were pacing out the gauntlet and looking at the decades, I skipped the 1910s. I did not pick a movie for us to discuss. And it dawned on me, instead of squeezing in one, I was like, you know what? We're going to discuss a little movie history, a little Gus's thoughts on cinema from the 1910s. Well, in that thought, I was like, you know what? We're going to pair up a Gus's thoughts on cinema per decade with the movie we're watching per decade. So coming up this month, we're doing Nosferatu from 1922. So why not discuss the history of cinema from the 1920s. So this one currently, this episode you're squeezing into your ears right now, is going to be a little bit of both. A little history of 1910s and 1920s cinema. Is this like a lesson, a history lesson? Nah. This is just, you know, off the cuff, off my melon. I have vague notes. It's mostly going to be just from what I've gathered over time and just what I want to spill out. So snippets, like palate introducers, morsels perhaps of, some things to look for in these decades. Maybe it'll pique your interest. You'll go and seek out some stuff and have a little back pocket knowledge of each decade. So yeah, thanks for tuning in on Gus's thoughts on movies, movie cinema, history of cinema. So, you know, we're going to dive into the 1910s here. You know, we discussed previously in the 1900s, you know, we talked George Méliès and, you know, like the birth of cinema, really. And it was in its infancy and it was more experimentation and a lot of shorts. Well, that continues into the 1910s. A lot of experimentation, a lot of shorts, but we start to dive more into the narrative, the story, more longer form films. They introduced like multiple reels to tell a longer story through film. This decade is infamous or famous for having what is known as the first full reel film. And that would be 1915's Birth of a Nation. Birth of a Nation is a very controversial film. It's definitely a product of its time. And even then it was controversial, split a lot of people, and actually created a lot of problems, in the world, if you want to look at it like that. But, Birth of a Nation, you know, was a tale of what happens after the Civil War, after the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And it tells a story of like two families. But what it's, I guess, notorious for, this film, is depicting the Ku Klux Klan as the heroes of this film. And, you know, the director, what's his name? D.W. Griffiths. He was a, well, I guess, a documented racist, and he, I mean, it's a silent film, of course, but, you know, actors who would speak and then it would go to the card of text. He wouldn't even have any person of color speaking. He had white actors in blackface. It's very crazy to go back and see this film that's well over 100 years old. And have it be known as the first, you know, full length, full reel movie. And it's long. It's like 2.5 hours long. And I had to watch it for a cinema class when I was back at university. And, it was one of those like 8 a.m. classes and you pop in this 100-year-old movie and it's damn near 3 hours long. Like it was a tough watch in that regard, but it's also a tough watch in, you know, the context of it. It was very controversial. It, you know, documented, like, gave a lot of rise to, segregation in the country and influenced more of the Ku Klux Klan and things like that. It was even banned in many, 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 many cities and was just not shown for those reasons. But what's even more crazy is, you know, incorporating inflation still to this day, it is seen as one of the highest grossing films ever made. So yeah, baffling, but interesting nonetheless, little piece of movie history there. You know, in the 1910s, you know, Europe is where film really, you know, got its start, right? But during this decade with World War I happening, you know, Europe was the movie industry was devastated. And they were really struggling, you know, financially with this business, this budding industry. So a lot of filmmakers would migrate to America and, you know, try to, you know, be successful there. And even American filmmakers, hello, were trying to, you know, make careers and start, you know, their journey into this world of cinema in the 1910s over in America and in New York, nonetheless. And, our boy, old Thomas Edison, you know, famous inventor, he had a lot of patents and, you know, essentially monopolies on a lot of things, including, movie making and distribution and the equipment used. He had patents on all these things. So he felt like any movie that was made or shown on American soil belonged to him. We've said in past episodes with The Trip to the Moon and George Millier, you know, this Thomas Edison ruined our boy's life, essentially. He ruined a lot of lives, Thomas Edison. You know, he did great things, terrible, but great. He's a villain, Thomas Edison. But because of, you know, these patents and, you know, this ruling that anything you make is mine, it caused a lot of filmmakers to migrate from New York, migrate out west to where they ultimately settled. Hey, in California, thus began Hollywood. I mean, I'm just saying this off of my brain here, but I believe Hollywood was in New York and they picked it up and moved it somewhere else and they moved it to California, away from Thomas Edison's like jurisdictions and his laws and his patents and all those things. And that's where they settled. And that's, you know, in the 1910s is where, you know, Hollywood really set its feet. So yeah. And that's what I mean with Gus's thoughts on cinema. Just gonna get little snippets, little morsels. And, you know, that's kind of the little history bits I'm gonna give you. And there's some movies that you can seek out. A lot of these are streamable. They're available on YouTube also. So if you are interested in checking out some of these old pieces of cinema, but history nonetheless, definitely worth your time possibly check out. So we already talked about Birth of a Nation. That's out there to be viewed. Interesting piece of history. We just talked about old Thomas Edison. Well, he had produced and created a film of Frankenstein. I believe it came out in 1912. Classic Mary Shelley story of Frankenstein and the monster. I've seen this one. It is very unique. It's like 12 minutes long, 15 minutes long. Very short and very odd, you know. Impressive and creepy. A lot of makeup and things like that, but the finale is wild. Spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you how it ends, so skip ahead. But the way Dr. Frankenstein defeats the monster is somehow he looks into a mirror and the monster gets sucked into the mirror and disappears forever. I don't remember that happening in the book. Or any other other take of Frankenstein. In the 1910s, you also saw the rise of Charlie Chaplin, cinematic icon, a historical icon, some would say. But like some highlight ones you can check out are Easy Street, Behind the Screen, and just some wonderful Charlie Chaplin antics of his character, the Tramp, these are more shorts, right? So not like full narratives, just the Tramp kind of getting into different antics, but very cool to see that little bit of history. You also got a Wizard of Oz movie, the very first put to film version of the Wizard of Oz came out in 1910, believe it or not. We all know the 1939 Wizard of Oz with Judy Garland. It's a musical and it's one of the greatest feats of cinema, if you ask me. But this version, you know, is based more on the play, which was created in like 1902. But also very different. You know, they definitely took liberties, like loosely based on The Wizard of Oz. You know, it incorporates a donkey and a cow that Dorothy takes to Oz with her. And, the Wicked Witch of the West isn't even in it. It's a different character altogether. Kind of interesting to go back and look upon that. That's the 1910s. That's a little morsel. That's a little snippet that you'll be getting with Gus's thoughts on cinema. With that being said, I'm going to move right into the 1920s. Now, the 1920s, there's a lot to say, and my brain can only hold so much. So, little snippet for you for the 1920s. That's where a lot of people would really see movie making and the industry really taking hold. A big expansion on narrative filmmaking, storytelling through film. The United States really took the hold of the industry and pumped out a lot of films throughout this decade. Is a very significant point in movie making. We're now out of the infancy and, you know, things are going from crawling to walking here. A lot of studios got their start, as we mentioned, they moved out west and established Hollywood. Now, a lot of studios that we know today got their start in the 1920s. I think even some in the 1910s even. But, Warner Brothers, Universal Studios, some of these, are, still existing, just owned by other companies, but United Artists, Fox, Columbia Pictures, all began around this time and were pumping out movies and, starting this industry that was becoming very, very successful and very popular, amongst viewers and consumers, I guess. In a big establishing thing that started in the 1920s that we see today are the Oscars. The Academy Awards began. The very first one was in 1927. And, very few awards were given out this particular night. It was just the start of it, but it's, still a tradition that happens every year. And whether you love it or hate it, is probably the most prestigious award you can get in filmmaking. But the very first Best Picture winner was from 1927. It's a movie called Wings. I own it. I sought it out and bought it. Still haven't watched it yet. It's long. it's damn near 3 hours also. And I just haven't set aside the time to pop in that disc and watch Wings, the very first Best Picture winner. But also from 1927, a very significant point in movie making and film history, was the dawn of the talkie. You know, 1927's The Jazz Singer. Now, is it an impressive feat of sound? Not really, but at the time, certainly was. A lot of singing and musical numbers, things like that. But nonetheless, it was the first film to incorporate sound and be distributed out, thus changing cinema, movie making. You know, not every movie after this did have sound, though. You know, a lot of people were essentially set in their ways or thought sound and talkies were a fad. You know, it'll pass. You know, the silent way of storytelling is superior and will proceed. And a lot of filmmakers, including Charlie Chaplin, continued on to make silent films. But, you know, the talkies, they were exciting. They were different. They were more relatable in a way, you know, for the common moviegoer. So that became the norm eventually, you know, coming out of the 1920s into the 30s, a lot of sound pictures. And what's interesting, we'll talk more about this in the 1930s, I'm sure, but a lot of filmmakers, you know, who even went into the 30s, they were silent filmmakers. So a lot of their techniques or style, would be for a silent film, but now there's sound all of a sudden. A lot of actors, you know, were very exaggerated movements and things like that for, you know, the expression, right, is, seen even after the silent film era. There's a movie, it also won Best Picture in 2011 called The Artist, that really explored this whole concept, really. You know, the dawn of the talkie and the fall of the silent film and the silent film star, you know, falling into obscurity. Great movie. Check it out. But yeah, with that being said, you know, 1920s, there's some movies that I think are kind of key, to check out. I mentioned Wings from a historical aspect. First Oscar winner. Go check it out. But there's a German film called Metropolis, also a long one. But Metropolis is like right up my alley. It is a silent film, but it is beautiful to look at. Incredible set design. It's like a futuristic, like cyberpunk film that came out in the early 1920s. And it's very impressive. A lot of classic imagery. It has a classic robot, female robot character that if you saw it, you'd recognize it. You know what I mean? It's one of those like iconic images that you might not have even known where it was from, but it's from Metropolis. Definitely check that out. I mentioned The Jazz Singer, from a historical aspect. First, talkie. First movie with sound, definitely worth checking out. Hey, pretty soon we're going to be putting out our episode on Nosferatu, the first surviving vampire film. Tune in when we post that. You'll hear all about it. There's a classic Charlie Chaplin film that came out this year called Gold Rush. Definitely check that one out. It might be my favorite of his. That and City Lights and Limelight. It's hard to pick between all these and Gold Rush, but Gold Rush is classic. Charlie Chaplin. He's like an aspiring prospector. You know, they're all looking for gold, and he falls in love with this woman. He's trying to, you know, I guess, steal their heart away. And, but there's this classic scene in this like lodge on this mountainside during a snowstorm. The lodge is rocking back and forth, teetering over the cliff. And Charlie Chaplin, this other fellow, are trying to like even out the, lodge so it doesn't fall over. And, you know, funny Charlie Chaplin antics. Definitely worth checking out. And, also from this time, I think 1925, was the classic Phantom of the Opera. That's with Lon Chaney, that classic, you know, Phantom of the Opera face with the makeup that Lon Chaney would do himself. Silent film also, of course. But I have a short story with this, a personal one. I remember being 8 or 9 years old, and we went to our local video rental store looking amongst, you know, the films. What do we want to watch over the weekend? We got a few, but one was this film, Phantom of the Opera. It was on VHS. I think it was a 1929 version. And I remember that sticking in my head. I was like, oh, that was the year our grandmother was born or whatever. And, only years, if not decades later, did I find out this movie actually came out in 1925, but different versions came out. Different scenes were added or taken away. You know, a color has been added with a few scenes. Music had been added to a few scenes. And that was this version. Anywho, sitting, watching this movie as an 8 or 9 year old, I watched it by myself, popped in that VHS. And I remember, my father came home, came in, saw me just sitting there watching the TV, watching the movie. And he asked, what am I watching? I was like, Phantom of the Opera. He's like, is it a silent movie? I said, yeah. He's like, huh, do you like it? I'm 8 or 9 years old watching a silent film. Do you like it? He's like, I was like, yeah, it's pretty good. I remember that very vividly. Like, yeah, it's all right. And my dad likes still telling that story. But yeah, Phantom of the Opera, little memory there from me. But yeah, that's where I'm going to leave it for now. That is kind of what you're going to be getting from Gus's thoughts on cinema from whatever decade we're in, 1910s, 1920s today. And, yeah, you're going to get the accompanying piece of Nosferatu later this month. And that'll be the deal going forward. 1930s, you know, we're not shy. We said we're going to do Wizard of Oz for the 1930s. Well, you're also going to get Gus's thoughts on movies from the 1930s. And it'll be a growing thing. You know, I just kind of spitting off what's on my noodle here for movie history, little snippets to wet your palate. Seek out history and cinema from each of these decades. So that's it for me. Please tune in to the Brothers Movie Factory. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom's our main hub. That's like a website, you know, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever the hell they're called. Wherever you listen, hey, we're there. Follow us on social media. We're on Instagram at the Brothers Movie Factory. You can find us on X. You can find us on Facebook. Follow along. I like to post what we're watching each and every week, or I guess not each and every week, but that was old. That's old news now. We're watching each episode. Let's keep it like that. And I like to make memes, and things like that. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time. Oh yeah. Brothers.